And now, from one of America's top four hospitals, it's Talking About Your Health with specialists from Cleveland Clinic. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
Osteoarthritis can cause joint pain and limit movement. Using innovative joint replacement methods, Cleveland Clinic orthopedic surgeons can give you the relief from pain that you've been looking for. My guest is Dr. Trevor Murray. He's an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hip and knee surgery and replacement at Cleveland Clinic. Welcome to the show, Dr. Murray. Tell us, osteoarthritis, what causes it and what is it doing to our joints?
The first question is somewhat of a difficult one to answer as far as what causes it. It's essentially a wear and tear on the joint surface. There's some genetic predisposition. There's certainly some conditions that can increase a person's risk for developing arthritis, but a lot of the times it is there's no specific cause. But essentially what it is a degeneration of the cartilage that coats the surfaces of our bones, and specifically what we're talking about today, the knee and the hip. And that cartilage surface is essentially a frictionless surface that allows easy gliding motion of the joints. And as that deteriorates, that motion now becomes less smooth and painful for the patient, and really can decrease their function and their overall quality of life.
As we get older, many people suffer from osteoarthritis. They feel pain and stiffness. What would send somebody to see you and say that this is a little more serious than just getting up in the morning and feeling stiff?
Sure. I think the main thing is if the patient has tried some just simple over-the-counter type of treatment modalities, such as an anti-inflammatory, if they can tolerate those, maybe a little stretching and some low-impact exercising. But if at the end of that they still find that, you know, they're thinking about their hip and knee and the negative impact it has on their daily life, then it's certainly time to go in and see a provider. And the first step would be a good history and physical, but then a set of x-rays to really establish what the level of arthritis is that they may or may not have.
Dr. Murray, when they've tried some of these other lines of defense, where does a cortisone shot, for example, come into play?
That's a great question. I would say that if a patient comes to see me, for example, who by x-ray exam certainly has arthritic changes, and they have tried a legitimate course of anti-inflammatories, and that means kind of a daily use of medications at a reasonable dosage, and they still do not gain the relief they're looking for to allow them to engage in the activities they want to engage in, that a steroid injection is certainly oftentimes the next best step.
When does it come down to surgery, and how do you advise your patients that this is the right thing to do?
That's a complex question, but in general terms, when it comes down to surgery is when the patient, again, has given a legitimate effort with their provider at non-operative management. And again, some of those things are what we've already talked about as far as low-impact exercising, whether it be with a personal trainer on their own or through formal physical therapy. They've tried an appropriate regimen of medication, again, anti-inflammatories, or there are some other ones for patients who can't tolerate anti-inflammatories, and who have tried a steroid injection to see what kind of relief they get. If at the end of all that, again, that this condition greatly negatively impacts their daily life, their x-rays are consistent with moderate to severe arthritis, then at that time, the conversation about a total hip or total knee replacement is an appropriate one to have with their orthopedic surgeon.
So what's involved in a total hip or total knee replacement?
It is, in both cases, a pretty streamlined process, and each day I feel like we're getting better and better at the efficient use of hip and knee replacement. What's involved is an appropriate preoperative medical consultation to, again, just to be sure that the patient medically is appropriate for surgery. If the patient has with them some medical comorbidities, one in specifically is diabetes. The reason that's an important one when we talk about total hip and total knee replacement is that diabetes, if not well controlled, can certainly increase the risk of complications after surgery. So the initial step is to ascertain what medical conditions they have, and then optimize any of those medical conditions that are optimizable. Again, with diabetes, it's tight glucose control, if they smoke, to get them to stop smoking. Once those factors have been appropriately handled, then we can move forward with surgery. And what that looks like is it's more and more a shorter and shorter stay. A lot of our patients now are going home within 24 hours of the surgery. In most places, though, it still is an inpatient procedure, meaning they come into the hospital the morning of surgery. They are taken to the operating room where they're prepped appropriately for surgery. I would say greater than 90% of total hip and total knee replacements, at least done at the Cleveland Clinic, are done with a spinal anesthetic where they get a single shot in their back, which allows numbing of their lower extremities so they don't feel anything, obviously, during surgery. And then what we call a twilight, where the patient is basically put to sleep so they don't know what's going on, but they don't require a breathing tube. The surgery itself, in the setting of a hip replacement, usually takes somewhere between 30 to 90 minutes. Total knee replacement, probably more like 45 to 90 minutes. They are then taken to the recovery room. From there, they go to the nursing floor. And more now, we are starting physical therapy postoperatively on the day of surgery. So, you know, these patients are worked with by a physical therapist. They're up and out of bed on day zero. And then at that point, it's just a progression of increasing their mobility while controlling their pain. And once those two things have occurred, they're discharged to home. What occurs at that point is a home therapist typically comes to their house for the first 3 weeks to work with, again, increasing their mobility, controlling their pain. And at that point, once they've progressed through that stage of recovery, they'll start outpatient therapy where they actually go to a facility, say, 3 to 4 times a week just to continue the recovery process. All told, my patients, or I should say patients in general, need a cane or walker for about the first 3 weeks following surgery. Certainly by 6 weeks, most patients no longer need any assist device. And by 3 months, they see about 90% recovery. That being said, in the setting of total hips, especially in total knees, you can see improvements in outcomes up to 1 to 2 years following surgery.
And Dr. Murray, when we talk about range of motion and pain, are they now going to live relatively pain-free with a good range of motion after these surgeries? Does it take a lot of hard work afterward?
Well, certainly a lot of this lies in the patient's hands. You know, I'll tell my patients I have to work for about an hour, and I hope that they'll work hard for 3 to 4 weeks, and that we'll both be very happy with the result. One of the best predictors of range of motion following surgery is what the range of motion is before surgery. So this kind of goes back to the first question, when is the appropriate time to have surgery? People should realize they certainly don't want to wait till they get to the point where, especially in the setting of a total knee, where their knee really moves very little, because that begins to predict a poorer outcome for them. But yes, the simple answer is they should expect a well-moving, relatively to completely pain-free joint that allows them to do most, if not all, the activities they wish to do following surgery.
Dr. Murray, in just the last minute, please give us your best advice for people considering hip and knee replacement at Cleveland Clinic.
I think they should, on their own, again, do some of the things that we spoke about as far as modifiable risk factors that they can take care of. In general, low-impact cardiovascular-type exercise is the best thing they can do. It may stave off some of the symptoms of osteoarthritis and allow them to push surgery off for a little while, but certainly, if it doesn't do that, it makes their recovery after surgery that much easier for them. And then they should find a provider who, frankly, specializes in hip and knee replacements, who's, you know, for lack of a better term, dedicated their life to providing total hip and total knee replacements for patients.
Thank you so much, Dr. Trevor Murray. You're listening to Talking About Your Health with Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic's Orthopedic and Rheumatologic Institute offers expert diagnosis, treatment, and rehabilitation for adults and children with bone, joint, or connective tissue disorders. To learn more, visit us at clevelandclinic.org/ortho. That's clevelandclinic.org/ortho. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.